And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith. It's spring. From now on in, there'll be more daylight than night. And in 2006, the equinox marks the completion of 2 full years that the Wild Side News has been broadcasting the voice of the Earth to the people of the Earth. Quite frankly, it's been a wild ride. And today, we celebrate the past 2 years and kick off the next as we take the pulse of the planet from some regular contributors and good friends when your voice of the Earth continues here on the Wild Side News. Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith. This is the 105th edition of the Wild Side News. It's our second anniversary show. We now enter year 3 of your Voice of the Earth and want to thank you for being one of our listeners. You know, it's amazing how things have changed in the last 2 years. 2004 was the year of the wilderness, marking the 40th anniversary of the signing of the Wilderness Act. And, of course, it was the year George Bush ran for his second term for President of the United States. Looking back, I remember commenting on how the environment was mentioned a total of only once during the presidential debates. Walden marked its 150th anniversary, and global warming did not make up even one segment of the shows. Pale Mail got a lot of people angry about the arrogance of power, and something changed. It's as if nature got really mad. Because 2005 hit with the tsunami that sent a shockwave around the world that nature was in charge here. And then the environmental community got swept away in its own storm of protest as to whether or not environmentalism was dead. After all, look what happened in the election. Weighing in on the debate were members of the Apollo Alliance, who were painting these outrageous claims that energy independence was something we should strive for, but not many people paid much attention. And then the egg was cracked when John Perkins revealed that much of the world's environmental and economic struggles were actually by design. After all, he had played the role in such a scenario as a real-life economic hitman. A stupid diver killed Blackie the sea bass and upset residents of San Diego. And the Taklat wolf pack effectively disappeared. The ivory-billed woodpecker miraculously reappeared after more than 40 years of being extinct, or so we thought. And then America began finalizing a series of legislative undertakings led by the President and his Congress to wrestle once and for all control of the environment from the environmentalists and back where it belonged, into the hands of the exploitationists. Roadless areas were challenged, parks were to be sold, ANWR was to be drilled, oil and gas leases began appearing by the thousands where once people lived peacefully. Meanwhile, scientists were admitting that animals actually had the capacity to think and feel. And then, Katrina. And the record suddenly jumped onto a new track. And then Rita. And then suddenly, someone noticed that the ice caps and glaciers were melting, and Arctic ice was disappearing, and that China was buying up a lot of oil around the world. And then, as the new year, this year, dawned, people noticed that the oceans were dying, and that global warming was about to change our world forever. It's been quite a journey, covering the emergence of this new awareness, talking with the wonderful guests whose voices have sounded steadily and clearly over the past 2 years. So today, on our second anniversary show, we're going to take a bold step forward and declare our endorsement for the upcoming election for president in 2008. This is an easy one. If you care about this earth, there really is only one sound choice. And maybe this early endorsement will help launch a much-needed change in leadership.
Following the news, I make my pick for 2008. Then in segments 2 and 3, you'll hear from some of the people who've made the Wild Side News such a source of great wisdom as I contact previous guests and get their take on what's on their minds now. There is definitely a theme. It, too, is a wake-up call. But if you're a regular listener, you already know what that is. And if you're new to the Wild Side News, you'll find out. So we kick off year 3 of your Voice of the Earth, following this look at the news. So first, the news. Cyclone Larry, the worst storm to hit Australia in 30 years, charged into Queensland's coast, taking out power, houses, and tourists. The Category 5 cyclone boasted winds of up to 174 miles per hour, taking roofs off houses, uprooting trees, and prompting Queensland's Premier Peter Beattie to declare the area a natural disaster zone. He went on to say, "This was the worst cyclone we've had for decades." Unusually severe weather continues to make the news. According to AccuWeather's forecasters, the 2006 hurricane season will be more active than normal and could bring a devastating storm to the U.S. Northeast. There are now indications that the Northeast will experience a hurricane larger and more powerful than anything that region has seen in a long time. That's the thoughts of Ken Reeves, senior meteorologist at AccuWeather.com. "The Northeast is staring down the barrel of a gun," said Joe Bastardi, AccuWeather's chief hurricane forecaster. The Republican-led push to open part of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling is back, as the Senate included the provision in their $2.8 trillion budget bill. Led by New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici, the bill is expected to be introduced for legislation in mid-May. Politics played a role, as Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu cast the deciding vote in favor of the provision after being promised $2 billion per year for levy in coastal restoration projects. Landrieu, a Democrat from Louisiana, was hard hit by Hurricane Katrina. Many in the environmental community were shocked that politics could be manipulated to once again push for the oil rigs to show up in Anwar. Bridget Bardot, Paul McCartney, and Sea Shepherd Captain Paul Watson are all heading to Canada for the annual harp seal hunt, scheduled to begin in 3 days. They are heading up to lend their bodies to help stop the slaughter of 325,000 baby harp seals, Canada's Red Terror, which has become an annual battleground pitting seal hunters, government officials, and environmental activists. 250 scientists and researchers have signed their names to a letter protesting the federal government's proposal to delist the grizzly bear in the Yellowstone area from the endangered species list. The bears, numbering approximately 600 in Yellowstone, have been protected as a threatened species but are now being studied for reclassification as a recovered species. Scientists, pointing to the need for adequate populations to maintain genetic diversity and population health, contest the 600 figure and suggest that 2,000 to 3,000 bears are needed to maintain a healthy grizzly population. Monday marked the end of the comment period on the proposal, which affects bears in Yellowstone and Grand Teton National Parks and the surrounding forests in Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana. And finally, a UN report, Global Diversity Outlook 2, concludes that humans have provoked the most serious loss of diversity in animal species since the dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. The report blames this decline on habitat change, overexploitation, the introduction of invasive alien species, nutrient loading, and climate change, and sees no real indications that these trends will abate anytime soon. We'll keep you posted here on the Wild Side News. And that's the news. A few reminders. 2008 is an election year, and we have the right and the responsibility to choose a new president. It's really no secret that George Bush spends a little too much time in his Oval Office and would perhaps be a better overall president if he got out a little more, mingled with the people, and spent more time taking long walks along some of America's great trails, perhaps a wilderness trail or some quality time in one of our national parks. 2008 will give him, finally, the rest he needs to sort things out. And it will also give us the great hope and opportunity to choose a new president, to change course, chart a new path, renew our visions and hopes with a fresh start, if we are wise. Or, of course, we could once again let ourselves be bamboozled by yet another tried and true red-blooded politician who will carry on the status quo, leading us farther along the path of exploring the wonders in the quest of new sources of oil and generating economic security for those heavily invested in exploitative industries that take from the earth without renewing and give to those who have the most. 2008 will be a test of democracy, the democracy that we shed our blood and the blood of others to promote in the name of a dying neoconic quest for security for the existing theocracy. Or, we the people may reach deep into the soul of our nation's great legacy to honor the wisdom entrusted to the people in a Declaration of Independence and its Bill of Rights. Democracy, America, the voice of the people, the voice of the earth. There is something real and significant about all this, if we take the time to think at all. It's a whole new world, and America is dying for leadership, or better yet, for a lack thereof. And over the past year, I've heard a voice, quite literally a voice, that speaks clearly and boldly and forcefully and wisely. And each time he speaks, I feel something real being said in a way I've wanted to hear. He's a warrior, tested by fire, attacked and throttled, bullied and smeared, and ultimately vanquished in 2000, or more accurately, victorious but with a catch. The great 537 vote defeat of Al Gore as determined by one vote of our Supreme Court. He took the outcome like a man, and in his wisdom he has reflected as great men do, and he's grown in stature, in strength, and in statesmanship. And he speaks of a democracy of old that will serve the democracy of now, if we are up to it. And he speaks of the sense that something is going so terribly wrong in America today. And he speaks of the urgent need to grasp the reins of power as the people, so that we may again regain our way. Because now, more than ever, as global warming, mass extinction, the emergence of China and India, and a depleted oil future become the world of tomorrow, we either apply our greatness today or lose the blessings of a true democracy in the world forever. And it is because Al Gore speaks so clearly to me, and because he talks as a leader must at times like this, that I commit my efforts to Al Gore for president in 2008. I'm not waiting. We can't wait. I don't expect many people to at this time understand my stance, but I ask in the days and years ahead that when Al Gore speaks, you take the time to listen. When we return, we hear what some of our guests from the last 2 years are saying about our world today on the second anniversary of Your Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.